This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Senate Health and Human Services will be called to order. And I apologize to our internet listeners for our delay. A little communication issues today, and we'll get into that after we call the roll and determine the quorum. I'm Senator Deb Soholt and chair of the committee. And why don't we establish a quorum first? Thank you, Madam Secretary. Rena, okay, so Rena is back, Ord Bond. She's been helping with Health and Human Services for a long time, and we've had some transition in our committee secretary, and she's been working really hard to not work as hard, and only wanted to work, was it retirement law that you wanted to only rules? Legislative procedure, that was the only piece that she wanted to take, and so as committee chair, I was just like a little over our heartbroken that Rena was moving on, but of course, totally understand. And because of some personal changes with our committee secretary yesterday, how Rena and I communicate with each other, and this is more than you want to know, but we have a striped folder that's green that we pass back and forth between our desks, so I know that that's a priority. When it hits my desk on the floor of the Senate, I take care of whatever Rena needs first. And so all of a sudden, it was like a breadcrumb trail that that folder showed up again, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Rena's back. They got her to come back to our committee and help us out, so I really appreciate it because her expertise in that role is second to none. Okay, so Rena, let's call the roll. Thanks for helping us out.
Senators Duhamel?
Here.
Foster? Jensen?
Here.
Rush?
Here.
Russell? Steinhauer? Soholt?
Here.
There is a quorum.
All right. Okay, everybody. The sun is shining in Pierre, and we're just ready to do some good health work. This will be a great time for everybody to check their cell phones and make sure that they're on silent. Additionally, if you want to testify before this committee, we'd like you to sign in at the podium, and please print legibly. That just helps us all to do a better job. We have pages that leave their high school place and space and come and help us out. And it's just really, you know, we're a fiscally conservative state. And so the pages play a critical role in these behind-the-scenes connector details that are just really important. And many times they seem, you know, it may seem like, well, that is not really an important job. And it's a significantly important job because we could not do our work without them helping us out. So I'd ask you to come up and introduce yourself and where you're from. And come on. And also tell us something interesting about you. They're not ready for that question.
I answered it yesterday, and then I got a homework assignment to do for Thursday. So I'm Lainey Asby, and I go to Hymer Herald High School. And in the future, I plan to go to SCSU, and I don't really know what I'm doing yet. And so a fun fact about myself would be I was born on February 14th, so Valentine's Day.
And so always a day of love on your birthday.
Yes.
Good for you.
Lots of candy.
Thank you. Lots of candy. Thanks for helping us out, Lanny.
Hi, my name is Grace Adam. I'm from Clark, South Dakota. I plan on attending Northern State University for counseling and music. And
I think the interesting fact about you, you should share about what happened yesterday on the Senate floor. So I'm going to tee it up for Grace because she seems like quite, you know, a humble person that doesn't necessarily want the spotlight on her. But share with the committee, you have taken private voice lessons for like 7 or 8 years. And just share all the places that you have had the opportunity to sing.
I've sung in Carnegie Hall in New York City and the Sydney Opera House in Australia. And I will be singing in Vienna, Austria.
And Grace, how old are you?
I am turning 17 in a few weeks.
Okay. So, isn't that extraordinary that a young 17-year-old woman is already living her dream? It's just like, ooh, goosebumps. I love it. Okay, so senators, thank you for helping us out. We have before us the minutes from our meeting of January 27th. I would entertain a motion to deal with those. Thank you, Senator Jensen, as second by Senator Duhamel. Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. All right, the minutes of January 27th carry. Okay, so senators, we have a change. And for anyone who's in the audience and listening, Senate Bill 5 Senator Sutton is the prime sponsor on Senate Bill 5, which has to do with qualified mental health professionals at appropriate regional facilities. With the new system, which we're all adjusting to, and you can teach old dogs new tricks, sometimes it just takes a little bit longer, more repetitive nature. In the system, the old system, when you're a prime sponsor of a bill and you have a bill up in committee, there was a piece of paper that was put on our spindle on our desk. So you would see these pieces of paper and it would trigger your thinking that, okay, my bill is up. Now that all happens electronically. And so there becomes an email of here's an update of your prime bills and where you're at. If you're following on the computer system, you'll see, you know, my bill is up in the agenda. But we're all learning to, like, watch for these places where our bills should appear. So, and I feel responsible in communication to Senator Sutton as well. There's just been a lot of moving parts. Did not specifically reach out and say, reminder, your bill is up tomorrow within the new system. So she was not prepared to do Senate Bill 5 today. So we are going to defer our conversation on Senate Bill 5. So we will take up Senate Bill 4, of which I am the prime sponsor, and so I'm going to turn the gavel over to Senator Jensen.
Good morning, Senator. Before us is Senate Bill 4, an act to provide for the designation of an appropriate regional facility by the Department of Social Services.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and good senators on the Health and Human Services Committee. I'm Deb Soholt, State Senator representing District 14 out of Sioux Falls. Senate Bill 4 comes to you as another part of the package of what we've already been talking about, the interim work on mental health access within the state of South Dakota. This bill, and there will be other bills, in fact, Senate Bill 5, and there's others coming over from the House side eventually, are out of the group that was really looking at that alternative space between going to jail or going to acute care hospital. And this is about appropriate regional facilities that can be designed for this 2 to 3 day length of stay. The chair of this task force was former Senator Alan Solano. So normally I do not read remarks in relationship to this, but worked with him on wanting to articulate his leadership on that committee. And so you can see that there is, it's not a very long bill. We're talking about 26 lines and one page, but it is a huge part in the key to changing access. So I'm going to quickly go through what that means in reducing these overall acute mental health hospitalizations, which is a very expensive, high-end level of care when people may not necessarily need that. Okay, so the scope of the task force was to study and review how to reduce the overall acute hospitalizations by developing and supporting existing alternatives where appropriate. The current statute of 27A focuses on mentally ill persons, with 27A10 dealing with the emergency commitment of dangerously ill persons, or what is known as the involuntary mental health commitment process. In South Dakota, the vast majority of adults who are in acute inpatient psychiatric care are those that are there as the result of this involuntary commitment process. So keep that in mind, that most people that are at strong danger to themselves or others are heading into these acute care hospitals. I'm going to give you just a little bit of an overview of the current involuntary commitment process, because I think that's important to understand in relationship to Senate Bill 4. A person who believes an individual is severely mentally ill and a danger to themselves or others can file with the county, the chair of the county board of mental illness, a petition for emergency commitment. All right, so they always have to go to this county board in order to do this. If the chair approves the petition, an order to apprehend the individual is ordered. So that is where you take away, you know, the person's ability to commit themselves, and you're saying they are a danger to themselves or to our public, and so now we need to intervene and to not give them full right on what that emergency commitment will look like. Once they're apprehended, the individual is taken to an appropriate regional facility, where they must be evaluated by a qualified mental health professional within 24 hours, and the results of that evaluation are provided back to the chair. So the chair is a key position within this whole process. The chair then determines if the individual meets the criteria for continued detention or should be released. So this two-step process of the QMHP does the evaluation, and then the chair determines if that involuntary commitment is appropriate. And I'm glad we have Senator Rush as a part of this, because he's been very involved in this process as a judge and can help to advise in our conversation. If the chair determines that this detention should continue, the individual is held at the appropriate regional facility for up to 5 days, all right? They can be held for 5 days, awaiting a hearing by the County Board of Mental Illness. At the hearing, the County Board of Mental Illness finds the individual to be severely mentally ill and a danger to themselves or others. They may then be involuntarily committed for psychiatric treatment for 90 days, okay? Senate Bill 4 focuses on the definition of an appropriate regional facility. All right, so you've seen other bills that are changing things in how do we access QMHPs and how do we make that more streamlined, but this bill deals directly with defining an appropriate regional facility and is a really important bill in relationship to the work that we're trying to do. Current statute defines that as a facility designated by the department for the pre-hearing custody of an individual apprehended, which is as close to possible to the immediate area where the apprehension occurred. All right, so we're trying to have people move within what connects with their locality and is no more restrictive of mental, social, or physical freedom than is necessary. No more restrictive. This is also key on patient rights, patient dignity, in trying to get them to the least restrictive environment for mental, social, and physical freedom to protect the individual or others from physical injury. In determining the least restrictive environment facility, considerations shall include the preferences of the individual, like where is it that they feel they need to go, or where is it comfortable with the family when we're in this process, the environmental restrictiveness of the setting, the proximity to the patient's residence, and the availability of family, legal, and other community resources and support. So in this mental health work, we're really working hard to not disrupt what is normal and support services for that individual overall as much as possible. It doesn't help us to go from Pennington County all the way to Yankton and totally disrupt those family supports when at all possible. So in South Dakota, the three facilities designated as appropriate regional facilities are all inpatient psychiatric hospitals. They are the Avera Behavioral Health in Sioux Falls, Avera St. Luke's in Aberdeen, and Regional Behavioral Health in Rapid City. Senate Bill 4 will better define what is required. All right, now this is a key thing. We're looking at what are the requirements to get this designation as an appropriate regional facility and ultimately result in other non-inpatient facilities. So this is about opening up that definition and what criteria do they have to meet in order to become this appropriate designation for this holding place for an involuntary commitment, where someone doesn't necessarily need the full-blown acute care hospital, but they need something other than just staying at home or going to jail. So this will reduce the overall reliance on inpatient facilities and serving individuals going through the involuntary commitment process. It's highly likely to see these crisis stabilization facilities not only in Sioux Falls and Rapid City, our largest communities, but also in areas such as Yankton, Pier, and Watertown, to name just those programs who were presented at the task force. So they came and talked about developing this appropriate regional facility concept with criteria that has to be met, and that's what Senate Bill 4 is all about. So what does Senate Bill 4 specifically do? It allows the Department of Social Services to promulgate rules to establish the time and manner for facilities to make an application. So this is how the rules about how do you go about becoming one, like what is has to be in an application, and how do you come forward. Within this, the specific requirements must meet these requirements to become designated. They have the capacity for overnight residential services necessary to stabilize an acute psychiatric or behavioral symptom and to evaluate treatment needs. 24 hours. So when you think of our community-based mental health centers, for instance, this legislation would enable them to start to move forward, working in concert with those that are providing mental health care within a community to develop a 24-hour service that is physical in nature. Right now, in the 11 community-based mental health centers within the state of South Dakota, they have to provide 24-hour phone response, but they don't necessarily have personnel overnight. So we are looking to develop this sweet spot in the state of South Dakota, and this is enabling legislation to get us there. Secondly, they will have to have the capacity to admit 24 hours a day, not just have people, but to be able to have an admission 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So this is not just a Monday through Friday proposition. This would also be 7 days a week. They have to have the capacity to develop a crisis stabilization plan for each individual that is admitted, to have on-site personnel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, have medical personnel available, including electronic communication, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They have to have the capacity to document daily interactions with or observations of the individual by treatment staff in the facility and to comply with any other requirements in administrative rule. With the passage of Senate Bill 4, South Dakota will see the expansion of non-inpatient mental health services to other communities in South Dakota. We will begin to fulfill the intent of our current statute that appropriate regional facilities are located as close as possible in the immediate area to where the apprehension occurred and is no more restrictive in mental, social, and physical freedom than is necessary to protect the individual and others from harm or injury. Ultimately, locating facilities in closer proximity of the patient's residence and the availability of family, legal, and other community resources and support is good for patients and for families. The passage of Senate Bill 4 will keep them closer to home, closest to their service providers, closest to their natural supports, saving our very limited inpatient psychiatric beds to be used those needing the highest level of care. Now, what you have to understand in Senate Bill 4 is this does not interrupt those that really need to go to an acute inpatient facility. This is a response to that inverted pyramid that we really identified, that right now we have a crisis, we go right to inpatient or jail. This is about appropriate crisis supports for the level of the continuum where people are at. This is enabling legislation that interconnects with the work we're doing in qualified mental health providers, being able to offer virtual strategies as a puzzle piece in transforming mental health access within the state of South Dakota. And I will stand down for other proponent testimony and also stand by for any questions that you might have. I thank you for your consideration of Senate Bill 4.
Thank you, Senator Soholt. Any further proponents of Senate Bill 4? Any further proponents of Senate Bill 4? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Terry Dosh. I serve as the Executive Director for the South Dakota Council of Community Behavioral Health. That's a nonprofit association. My members are behavioral health care provider organizations, and I represent 18 comprehensive alcohol and drug treatment centers and all 11 community mental health centers that serve our state. I had opportunity to participate in all of the legislative task forces that evolved over the course of the summer. My members want me to appear before you today and tell you that we are in solid support of this legislation. This makes all the sense in the world, and it literally fits with the idea of not rushing to the highest level of care and rushing to the decision to deprive people of their civil liberties in order to address them during a time of crisis. This builds, as Senator Soholt said, on some of the other crisis capacities that have been built in the state, such as the mobile crisis teams that operate out of Sioux Falls, such as the Crisis Care Center that's in Rapid City, South Dakota, such as a mobile crisis response that's here in Pierre. Those types of models are somewhat limited, you see, because the Crisis Care Center in Rapid City, even though it has structure and staffing to assure a secure place for that person to be, and it gets them into outpatient care as soon as possible, they may keep them at that level for up to 24 hours. And sometimes that 24 hours isn't enough time to stabilize them. Sometimes it's an abuse of a substance that got them there in the first place, and simple sobriety helps with some of the threats or the comments that were made that led to the filing of the petition in the first place or the apprehension in the first place. This is a model that would allow us to stabilize people for up to 5 days. It can operate at a much lower cost than inpatient care facility can, and it can be situated closer to where people reside. Right now, for example, if you're from the Rapid City area, you'll be aware that in order to transport an individual to HSC for inpatient care, that requires transportation clear across the state. In the process, they employ the prison bus to do that kind of transport. And this would obviate all of that. I could see where the crisis care center in Rapid City could actually upgrade itself to meet these criteria. Appropriate regional facility has always been defined, it's always been referenced in 27A, but it's never been specifically defined, and that's the real crux of this bill, is it lays out the staffing and facility requirements for meeting crisis stabilization or crisis intervention services that would meet CARF criteria. This is something that we can do, and it doesn't require a bunch of building either, I would add. You know, it does require that there are some facility considerations here. It doesn't make a lot of sense in Pierre, where I live, to build a brand new building to accommodate this need. Capital Area Counseling Services has recently built a new building that has some space that could be allocated for that purpose. And these staffing requirements don't have to come to bear unless there's an individual that needs to be placed. So it can be a flexible model that doesn't have to be a major investment of permanent facility and ongoing staffing all of the time, depending on the size of the community. I know that a model like this could potentially also fit in the Watertown area with a dual diagnosis facility that they have there at Serenity Hills. It may require some reconstruction to conform with some of these security requirements, but not really. My final comment is, do I think that this will work? I know it will work. Because this past summer, you may recall that there was devastating tornadoes in the Sioux Falls area that really impaired Avira Behavioral Health and eliminated a number of inpatient beds available in the state. You recall that the Avira Behavioral Health almost heroically moved some of that capacity to HSE, occupying unoccupied ward there to continue inpatient care. But still, a number of beds were lost. Lewis and Clark Behavioral Health Services, our member in Yankton, rose to the occasion working with the department on an emergency basis and essentially configured its residential substance use disorder treatment facility there to meet this need. I can't recall how many beds they committed, a couple, three. But you know what? It allayed the need for that inpatient hospitalization and it saved the day. And so I would like to tell you today that regardless of how that's configured locally, we can have these not in every town, but we can have these in every region of the state to really improve access. So, Mr. Chair, that would conclude my testimony. I'm happy to stand by to answer any questions if the committee has any.
Thank you. Any further proponents on Senate Bill 4? Good morning.
Jeremy Johnson from the Department of Social Services. Thank you to the members of the committee for having me. I wanted to offer the Department of Social Services support for Senate Bill 4. We also participated in the task forces this summer on access to mental health care and agree with the comments provided by the previous proponents. The current definition of appropriate regional facility is limited, and we believe that creating this new definition will allow additional providers to provide care to individuals in many cases at a much lower cost and, as mentioned, closer to their homes. Outlining specific criteria facility must meet to be designated an appropriate regional facility will ensure that the facility is equipped to serve the individuals properly that are referred for emergency commitment. We ask for your support of Senate Bill 4, and I, too, will be available for questions from the committee.
Thank you. Any further proponents on Senate Bill 4? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Hi, I'm Deb Fisher-Clemens. I am representing Avera. Avera has been the largest provider of behavioral health services inpatient for over 60 years in the state of South Dakota. Interestingly, we have talked about, not me, but some of my folks at Avera, have talked about this regionalization concept for many years. We have seen that tremendous need as we provide services in rural communities every day and have seen then that it's critical and when they're in crisis to get them to a right location. So we've always believed and actually written white papers on how regionalization could occur in the state of South Dakota to best serve our citizens. So, and as the speakers before you have indicated, when the tornado hit Avera Behavioral Health, it was very evident that we, in fact, could use services in other locations. And we have a facility in Aberdeen as well. So when you think about, when we think about regionalization as it is today, you have Rapid City, you have Aberdeen, you have Sioux Falls, you have Yankton, and then you have the network of the community behavioral health facilities out there. So we have kind of a beginnings of it, but this legislation takes us the next step that we need to take to get this work done. We've talked about it a long time. The task forces this summer have brought it to reality. This is important legislation to get us down that road, and I would ask for your support. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Any further proponents on Senate Bill 4? Any further proponents? Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 4? Any opponents? Seeing none, we'll waive rebuttal and move to committee questions. Any questions from the committee members? Any discussion or action from the committee? Senator Duhamel, you said?
I'm making a motion to do
pass. Okay, gotcha. Okay, we have a motion by Senator Duhamel to pass on Senate Bill 4, a second by Senator Rush. Any comments on your motion?
Yeah.
Senator Rush.
I think this is a great idea, as Senator Soholt said. You know, I heard courts in Vermilion and Yankton on a regular basis, and so many of the areas around the state didn't really have any facilities, and their first step was to have the sheriff haul people to Yankton, and then we were dealing with them in Yankton, and the Yankton County Mental Health Board was dealing with hearing these cases for all these remote counties. And, you know, I think it's a wonderful idea to try and get some more facilities around the state.
Thank you. The motion before Senate Health and Human Services Committee is due pass on Senate Bill 4. All in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Duhamel?
Aye.
Foster?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Steinhauer? Excused. Soholt?
Aye.
6 ayes, 1 excuse.
Senate Bill 4, having received a majority vote of the committee, is hereby passed.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Soholt.
I would request that we did not put this on consent. I don't want to belabor it, but because of the package coming out of the interim work, I'd like to also highlight this because it's a major step forward and a very important bill for the senators to be able to even speak to their constituents about.
Very good. I agree. Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Could I just have the gavel back for a minute?
You certainly may.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Jensen. I just wanted to share with the committee that next Wednesday, just be alert, we may or may not have a meeting. Just in the cadence of the bills and people that can come to peer that are needing here to testify on bills, I like to always, you know, was hoping to take up 2 bills today. Want to be sure that our agendas moving forward are, you know, robust, and I'm not taking your time. So we'll see if whether or not we have a meeting next Wednesday. All right. With that, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Senator Jensen has moved. Senator Duhamel has seconded that we would adjourn Senate Health and Human Services. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.